Hey, welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. Once again, we're always doing a series of interviews, getting some inspiration, getting some advice, getting some cool stories, and this is no exception. Tonight's guest is Derek Pierce, the one, the only. Since December of 2007, he has stayed busy in the adult film and industry, as well as behind the scenes. He's also been a martial artist instructor, fitness expert, and recently got into entrepreneur and realtor duties. So, welcome to the show, sir.
I guess I've been busy.
Busy enough. All right. So you're best known for having a calm persona in other interviews. Who would you say that you've worked with that's been able to match your charisma so far?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of entertaining people in the industry. That's my persona. I'm pretty
No one can
mellow
match you.
overall. Like, I'm not really.
No.
I'm just like, there's big personalities. I mean, like the Phoenix Maries and people like that. I mean, they have very big personalities. But like, I don't know. I always consider myself a lot more mellow. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like I'm there for the fun, I'm there for the jokes, I'm there for the
You're
business, but
chill.
I don't need to be the center of attention. You know what I mean? Like,
Fair
I
enough.
don't, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't care.
Well, that's even better. So you've been a pretty cool speaker on how guys can be blunts without being jerks, performers who take the business too seriously, and how honesty is everything. What are some factors to remind others that everyone can be positive and ensure a politics-free working environment, no matter their profession?
I think people take themselves a little too seriously. You know,
Just filter out.
it's just like, just relax, man. At the end of the day, ultimately it's an us versus them, unless you happen to be a millionaire that you've been keeping secret that I don't know about. We're kind of the same, you know. We're operating in similar areas on similar frequencies. So, like, because you have a left view and I have a right view, or vice versa, we're really not that far apart. We're just not, you know. To use an analogy of like how it is to travel in California and SoCal, you know, you might take the 101, I might take the 405. We both going north. Like, you just chose a different way to get there, right? We all want similar things. Everybody wants success. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to be happy. You want your family to be safe. You want your kids to have opportunities. There's nobody that's like, yeah, fuck that. That's bullshit. I don't want that. Nobody. You know, whether you lean right, whether you lean left, everybody wants the same things. It's just a matter of how we get there. So the problem isn't that we want different things. The issue is just how you get there, right? So if you can at least agree that we both want good things for the people around us, the rest is just semantics. You know what I mean? You like stocks, I like real estate. You know, it's not that big of a deal. It means the divide is not that big.
Doesn't have to be, yeah. And we can teach all the Karens and even the Stans of the world to just, hey, just go in your corner, think about what you're doing, and just behave. We don't have
Yeah,
to necessarily say, I refuse to be friends with them,
in today's day and age, where there's a lot of people who have a tendency to be entitled and feel that they're somehow special just because somebody told them that, it's ridiculous to me. I don't go woke left and I don't go conservative right. You know, I believe in a woman's right to choose things. I also believe that I have a right to carry my gun and to defend my home and my person and my family accordingly. So trust, if you break into my house, you're gonna catch one in the ass. That's what it's gonna be.
Even
That being
better.
said, I'm also gonna respect you on personal rights to do what you want to do. You know, I don't need you telling me, you know, that I can't say this and I can say that. No, I actually can say those things. It's protected speech. So calm your ass down. You don't have dominion, and neither do I. But we can always share opinions, you know, like that's what they are. They're opinions, they're thought processes.
Totally. All right, so you previously some here's some dating advice for the fellas. You previously noted how you were dating upwards of like nine famous models before you opened up your world to an actual personal relationship, as well as how your
Oh.
business requires a rare kind of person who understands its complexities. What are some recent dating trends that you personally like to speak on now?
You know, I don't think they've changed all that much. Like, I mean, you know, again, in a digital culture where, you know, everything is online and it's all swipe left, swipe right, or like or dislike, or, you know, whatever the avenue of I think you're cool is, you know. I just encourage people to get out and talk to people. It's like an old school approach, right? Like, you know, I don't need to text you for 3 weeks before we meet. Fuck that. Like, you know, right. Why are we doing that? And if I'm not fucking you already, then why are we consistently sexting? I don't care. You texting me about what you want me to do to you is fun the first two times. After that, if we're not doing those things, then we ain't talking about shit. And right. That's just kind of what it is. But I mean, as far as dating goes, like, you know, you want to be different. I see on lifestyle sites and even dating sites, the oddest shit. And it's like, I always see, like, you know, oh, if you don't like this political view or that political view, don't even click on my profile, or, you know, I'm triple vaxxed, you know, and you know, this is a must, or like, God, are you fucking, like, these are dating protocols now. Like, you know, we have to have similar political views. You know, we have to be so in line with each other on everything. Like, we have to both like the same color, shade of blue. Like, is that where it's at now? Like, nah, the differences make the people. Right. So get outside your comfort zone, find some things you like about some people and learn some things that you thought you might not like and you do can tolerate now. You know what I mean?
Find a challenge.
Yeah, that's what it is to be social with people. We don't have to, you know, be like-minded in every way. Then what are you doing? You're just dating a person in the mirror with longer or shorter hair, I guess. I don't right. You know, there's no point.
Man.
I mean, and dating these days is, from what I can see, I mean, I'm married now, but, you know, we're still kind of out and about. We're both in lifestyle to a degree. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Dating fucking sucks right now. Like, you know, you, in order to connect with somebody, it's tough. It's really, really hard because, like I said, everything is swipe left, swipe right. So to develop an accord with somebody is virtually non-existent. You have to pull it literally out of thin air, and they don't have to confront you, you know, nor do you have to confront them. You know, when I was younger and we'd be out, like, if I thought a girl was hot, like, I had to grab my nuts and go across the room and try and talk to her, you know what I mean? And if I didn't, then shit, it wasn't like, what's your IG? Like, are you fucking kidding me? What's your IG? Like, that's
my Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. That's your hook now, is like, let me follow you on Instagram. What are you, a fucking puppy?
Technology is made us dumb.
Yeah, if you ask her for her IG, ask her for her phone number. Like, you know, like, I don't, what, cause you're going to ask that anyway. So why are you trying to, like, you know, take these little bullshit baby steps, like, you know, grow a pair and talk to somebody. And that goes for women too. Like, you know, don't, it's the same culture, you know, whatever gender you're choosing, they all have that same tiptoe around the thing. Like, oh, God forbid you get rejected. Like, you know, it's okay. You'll live. You'll be all right.
Very good. You know, you used to blog on GQ and BuzzFeed. Are there any other blogs you'd like to frequent around nowadays, or are they just oversaturated?
We're still working on our podcast. We've
gone in the center.
We've gone on again, off again. We've gotten so busy, you know, with other endeavors in order to dedicate. I think we have, like, I don't know, 60 episodes, 70 episodes.
A ton.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot. And I like it. I think there should be more, like, straight talk, you know what I mean? Like, where you don't have to worry. Like, again, it kind of goes back to that, you know, offended culture. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, be offended. I fucking dare you. I dare you to be offended and still live. You know, I say offensive shit all the time. Half the time, I'm not even being serious about it. I'm just saying it to be offensive because I want to elicit a reaction, you know, and I want to have the conversation. People seem to be so afraid to have the conversation. I've been told on many occasions, oh my God, you can't say those things. The fuck I can't. Watch me. watch me say this shit, because that's just what creates conversation, and you can develop relationships, you know, friendships and acquaintanceships and everything in between, like through potential discord. Like, I can still disagree with you and respect you. You know what I mean? I don't have to dislike you because we don't agree. I like those tough conversations. I like political conversations. I like ethnically challenging conversations or gender challenging conversations. It's okay. We're all going to be fine. I promise you will not die by my words.
Swear. Yeah. Especially if it's a shock shock. I mean, that's literally the whole point, is to be shocking.
Yeah.
So you've had some fortunate career moves and got to work with some big names in your respective industry. What's been the biggest highlight? If you just had to sum up just one, it's like, I would not take that back. It's like, that was a special moment. I know this is not easy.
I mean, I came into this industry at a time when it wasn't very easy to get in. I was kind of on the very tail end of like the veterans that actually had to, you know, like work to get in. A lot of the newer cats, although they may be good performers, didn't have to grind the same way that we did. And they got chance after chance after chance after chance to prove themselves. And then maybe over time, you know, they came into their own, which lucky for them. So a lot of the experiences I've had have been actually really good. Even the not so good experiences are still a story to be told, you know? So, I mean, probably one of the coolest movies I've done is the Magic Mike movie. That just because it was so far off the beaten path. And, you know, when Brad Armstrong brought that to Wicked, they were like, are you sure you're shooting straight porn? It's 7 male leads and it's straight porn. Like, you know what? I don't get it. And it was so much fun to shoot that. All the guys that were on the movie were fantastic. You know,
and it's a parody, you know, so with Naughty
and Cops, it's fucking hilarious. And, yeah, and it was done so well. And you know, so cleanly done, and the resemblances and the, you know, the scenes. I thought it would, you know, we got robbed. Like, when we didn't get all the awards that I had expected us to get, like, yeah, we got robbed at that one. That's the only one I really feel like, you know, slighted by, was that year, because that was a great freaking movie. It was just so original, you know, and nobody had taken a jump to do something like that before. So I thought it was, you know, real ingenious to try that, and that it worked, you know. So I think that would definitely be, you know, towards the top of a highlight reel.
Nice. You joke that you're the Susan Lucci of porn. You still stand by that amusing remark.
Yeah. Well, no, most people don't know who Susan Lucci is.
Right. So. They don't watch soap operas.
Yeah. The other term is, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, you know.
That's, you know, great.
Like, I've been nominated every year that I've been in this business, and, you know, I can count my wins on like one hand, you know, and, and that's the irony of the business is, you know, I've talked to performers over the years for many years, and I literally know damn near everybody in the business. And, you know, they're like, you know, I want to do like good stuff, and I don't really care about the awards. You fucking liar. Shut up. You're lying. Okay. The only people who don't care about the awards are the ones who already have them. Okay.
Correct.
It's Manuel. Manny and I have talked 100 times. Mick Blue and I have talked 100 times. And they're like, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Fuck you. You have 4 already. Of course you don't give a shit. You know, I want bookends. I want one on this side and one on this side to hold a bunch of shit together. And then I'll be good. At this point, I don't care. It doesn't increase my financial revenues, right? It's strictly for my ego, and I am 100% okay with that. I want the awards for my ego. That's it.
There you go. Get it. What's been the best company that you've worked for so far? You were doing Wicked and Kink and then a bunch of the other ones, but
if I had to choose just one company, it would be Kink, without a doubt. And there's
the first one.
Yeah, there's very specific reasons why. Number one, as far as for me, they have been the most consistent with the treatment of talent, as far as the quality goes. Not to say other companies have mistreated, although some of them have. I personally have never had a problem with Kink. They've always paid on time. They've always done every single thing they said they've ever done that they would do. You know, I've never had a negative experience on set with them ever. They've always been, on the up and up. You know, I've never felt like they were trying to be sneaky or trying to get more for their money or
something,
you know,
didn't add up. And you're like, wait a second.
Yeah, never, never. But this business isn't really, it's governed by the companies because they're the ones who ultimately are producing. But it's really more about the director and production team, right? Because if you happen to direct and I shoot for you, I'm one of your guys, and whoever you go to, typically I work for them. So, you know, if you go to Hustler, I work for Hustler. If you go to Wicked, I go to Wicked. If you go to Gamma, I go to Gamma, because you go there, you know, you're my line in. And so that's how it had always worked. Nowadays, because there's somewhat of a monopoly, you know, between
always
the Vixens and the Gammas and, you know, MindGeek and those
Reality
guys,
Kings,
you know,
all those guys buying each other.
You know, they've all fly under very similar banners now, which is fine. You know, they're still diverse, but you're working for one of those companies 9 times out of 10. You know, just depends on, again, what director they hire.
1,000%. Man, so are there any other scandals in the industry that have kind of rocked the business and that you just were having to remind others, hey, you know, this company I hear is a little sketchy, and make sure they're not talking smack about you?
I've never had an altercation with anybody, but I'm the type that'll show up to your office. So, you know, like I don't do hearsay. I don't do double talk. I will stand face to face with you and say whatever I say before I would ever speak about it behind your back.
Even better.
You know, and I expect the same. And if I hear some shiesty shit from somebody, trust that I'm gonna come see you and we're gonna get it straight. You know, whatever that entails is whatever that entails. If it's just a conversation, then we can just have a conversation. If it needs to be handled a different way, we can do that too. You know, but I don't do backbiting, I don't do backstabbing, and I don't do double talk, you know. So as far as scandals go, like here's how I look at this business. Like, there is a ton of backbiting, bullshit, and undercutting.
Oh, yeah.
Front, left, right, and center. But there's also a high level of protection within the business. Like, I will fight tooth and nail for my other performers, and I would never put them on Front Street, because even if we have, you know, some inter-industry issues, I don't make them public. You know, this is my family. You can't talk shit about my family. I can. You can't. You know, I will say fuck them, but if you say fuck them, then we have a problem. You know,
right?
And that's kind of how I've always treated it. There's a company that I had a problem with, the way they handled some shit, and it was sideways, and it had to do with, you know, some gender issues and how I was treated, you know, by a female. And I would never put that company on Front Street, you know, just because they were dead ass wrong in the way they handled it. Dead ass wrong. But I've already spoken to them, you know what I mean? And I got them on the phone, and you know, they know exactly where I stand with it. And if they ever said anything sideways, I'll tear that bitch down. Like, you know, so basically the short version is, like, you know, you keep my name out your mouth and I'll do the same, you know, and we're all good, you know. So I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff, you know, within the industry. This person doesn't like that person, whatever. I'm too busy doing other shit. I don't have a lot of time, you know. Like, even today, like, I've got to be on set at 3. I'll be done, you know, by, I don't know, 5:30 or 6, and then I go to my gym to work. Like, you know what I mean? So there's not, I don't have time to get involved with that shit. I have too many.
No one does.
No, a lot of people do. You'd be surprised. A lot of people have plenty of time. That's how they get caught up.
Oh, you better. Oh, man. So what gyms do you still frequent and do training at, or are you based at home for right now?
No, I own a gym in Northridge, California. So I train out of there for the most part. And then I've always been a member of, like, Gold's Gym in North Hollywood. And then there's a couple of private gyms that I frequent. So
nice.
Yeah.
Any other inspiring fitness training stories or even hysterical celeb sightings that you care to share?
I mean, at Gold's Gym in North Hollywood, like everybody from mainstream works out there, cameramen and, you know, script supervisors and makeup artists and talent and, you know, like actors, actresses, like everybody from, I don't know, 50 Cent, Hulk Hogan. Who else? Tim Allen. Like the list is long of all the people that would work out there consistently. You know, but you just all kind of coexist. Nobody really trips, like, you know, whatever. You know, like my conversation with 50 Cent when he used to work out at Gold's was like, hey, 50, how many more sets do you have on that bench? Like, I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, not in a negative way, right? Like, I'm not trying to treat you different because you're somebody in that regard. I'm trying to get my workout, man. Same as you, you know. And they've all been all really, really cool people. So I don't really have, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right, no, very cool. I could totally see you being like training someone for a big movie that they're doing.
Yeah, I've done that before. I used to train pro MMA guys for a long time. And now a bunch of them own their own schools and have their own fighters. And so, yeah, I've been around for a while, man.
Exactly. All right. So for newcomers, you know, the industry's really rocked. So because now that everyone's doing the whole do it yourself thing. What are some tips that you think they got to approach other than have good lighting and video?
You don't need good lighting. You don't need good video.
Just go for it.
You don't. I mean, I have an OnlyFans. My OnlyFans does okay. I shoot most of the shit on my phone because they don't give a shit if I'm shooting in 4K from, you know, whatever, you know, the top. Stony
it's already
camera.
A lowbrow enough. It's just like, okay.
Nobody cares. They just care that they can see it. They care that they can function with it. And that's pretty much it. And the more real that it looks, that usually the happier they are. And once in a while, I'll throw in like a fully done scene. But there's one term that I've heard recently that I really caught me off guard is people coming from like OnlyFans and clips for sale and stuff like that. They call what we do mainstream. And I was on set just the other day and she was like, oh, this is like my first mainstream thing. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, like mainstream. And I'm like mainstream what? And she goes, like porn. Like this is like first mainstream porn. I'm like, there's a thing called mainstream porn.
Skinamax is dead. So
it didn't occur to me. I guess it makes sense if you're coming from, you know, a fan-based platform, like OnlyFans clip for sale and all those kind of things. I guess that makes sense, but it just caught me off guard because I was like, it's just porn. Like it's just you shoot amateur and I don't like per se, like this is just not amateur, but it's still porn. It's not mainstream, but that like is a real term that they use. And I found that pretty interesting.
I mean, I think it just goes back into the popularity contest. It's like, sure. I'm a cool kid now. People know what I am, but yeah, like you say, it's just like, it's just there for fun.
Oh yeah.
Entertainment.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
So how did you train to get into your current entrepreneur and realtor side gigs?
I mean, I've always done some light real estate. I've owned apartment buildings before and some duplexes and stuff like that. So I learned a lot of shit the hard way and it costs a lot of money to make mistakes. But, you know, doing the gym thing, like I've always liked training people. It's just always kind of something that I've always been involved with, whether it was training fighters or, you know, teaching martial arts or now back into the fitness side of things for the last like 6 years. It's just something that I feel very comfortable with. I like working with people. I like watching people progress and, you know, do things they thought they couldn't do for whatever multitude of reasons. And so it's very comfortable for me. And then the other stuff, it's, you know, I feel like you can't be, you know, single-minded. I think anybody that's involved in any form of entertainment, I don't care if it's adult, if you're a singer, if you, you know, actor, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like you have to continue to diversify. You know, I got slammed, I don't know, at this point, like maybe 12 years ago and literally lost everything and had to start over. And when I say lost everything, I mean, like I had like $1,000 to my name. Everything changed literally overnight. And so I had, you know, thousands of dollars in bills, car payments and everything else, and had literally nothing. And I just kind of made a promise to myself that, you know, that shit would never happen again. You know, that I'm going to do my best to, you know, get a check over here, get a check over here, get a check over there, you know, that way if something stops, I always have something, you know. And, you know, ultimately, I think as you get older, you start thinking about things like legacy, you know, and you want to build a legacy, you know, for your offspring, and you want to be comfortable, you know, even though I'm devastatingly handsome, that's not going to last forever, you know, and you had better wrap your head around the fact that you're not going to be cute forever. And so once that happens, this business is going to spit you out pretty quick, and that's okay. That's part of it. I just think a lot of people don't prepare for that. And so, you know, now I shoot because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the money, you know, but now I shoot more because I want to, and then I get paid. And, but, you know, it's a fun gig for me now. I can run out and, you know, get some pussy and get paid and go to work.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah. And I don't have to deal with nothing, you know? So, it's a good thing, but again, you know, to diversify and start to build something that, you know, you can have for the next 30 years. That's the hook. That's the beast.
By all means, no. And that's good. So many just cannot be bothered to deal with the backup plan. And then they get so surprised when, like you say, it backfires, something happens, some freak accident. And the next thing you know,
you just never know, man. You just never know.
I work security. And as a follow-up, I just respond to so many open door houses on the market, as well as apartments. And sure, it just seems like so often, half the time, just apartments can be very cranky or just have just unacceptable residents. And like you say, you have I don't deal with any BS attitude. How did you approach a lot of that when you're just like, hey, you know, the rent's due right here, right now, you know, and you're making noise, you're supposed to have fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I just shoot straight with people, you know, like, this is what it is. If you think you're going, you know, like, I'll work with you, but if you think you're going to pull one on me, you know, you got another thing coming, you know, don't get the shit twisted. Like, you know, I have no problem. A long time ago, I was really young, like in my early 20s, I rented an apartment from a guy who did not want to rent to me. And he told me straight up, he goes, look, you're young, you know, you probably got a lot of friends and, you know, you're probably about that party life. And I'm like, actually, I'm not really. But he goes, yeah, kind of like whatever. And he goes, you know, I have property. This is my property. And he goes, and I just don't feel comfortable renting to you. And I'm like, I get it. Like, okay, that's cool. You know, he may have had bad experience before. And I said, you know, would it help if you, like, you know, talk to my mom, you know, like, yeah, I'm not asking her to pay the bill or whatever, you know, but like, would that help maybe put your mind at ease? And he was like, you could try. And he goes, but, you know, as of right now, like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, all right. So she talked to him. He called me back and he goes, so here's the deal. He was like, you know, you give me first, last deposit. I know it's more than what you're supposed to do. I don't care. And he goes, and if there's any problems, he goes, what's going to happen is I'm going to come in, I'm going to change the lock and throw all this shit out the window. And he said, and I'll go to jail for trespassing, but you'll be locked out of the place. You won't be there anymore. And I was like, God damn, like, this guy's such a hard ass, you know, but again, I understand it because he's just trying to protect his shit, you know? And so I always knew where I stood with him, and he was always very fair, you know? And so that's just, you know, how I approach all business, you know, like, just be straight, be 100 with people, and you there won't be a problem.
Right. No one has time for any problems. So, Well, anything you got coming up that you'd like to promote? Any other side businesses?
No, man. You know, I mean, Adult Step's still popping. You know, I'll be at ABN this year, and a lot of the stuff I've been doing for Casey Calvert and Eli Cross and all of them from the programs that they're doing, they're really, really cool projects. It's a little off the beaten path of normal, quote unquote, you know, porn. So I really like what they're doing. And that's most of that stuff is with Erica Lust and Gamma. Mm-hmm. You know, but Erica Lust is a really good company. Even if their adult content is not up your alley kind of deal, it's still just a really good take on adult. You know what I mean? I love it because they're not afraid to try something different, and their sales seem to be embracing it, you know? And so
yeah, she's a good filmmaker. Different. She's fantastic. Pretty much an art house gal who happened to choose an adult model.
Exactly. And so, you know, like I said, with companies like Erica Lust kind of, again, just trying to reframe and change the game, like I'm very appreciative, you know? So nice. A lot of the projects I'd love to do more for them. And I think that is still, you know, on the menu.
Excellent. Well, if you ever get done with the business, have you considered doing even stand-up comedy or even just doing action or horror movies?
Sure. I would do all of those. I want to do stand-up at least once, just once. Even if I bomb like a motherfucker, like I don't care. I just want to be like, I did it one time. You know, I feel like being a stand-up comic and being an adult male performer are really similar. You know,
you got to literally just be fearless.
It just, you know, when things are good, they're fucking fantastic. And when things are bad, you can't close your eyes tight enough and the people are still there when you open them. So, you know, very similar in nature. So, yeah, I would totally do that.
Stellar. Well, Mr. Pierce, it's been a delight having you on here. And we always appreciate having anyone with blunt energy.
Cool, man. It was my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.